Welcome back to It Is What It Is. Today's show is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is a cool way to make some money on some of your favorite players.
The app is a cool way to make
some money on some of your favorite players. The app is a cool way to make some money on some of your favorite players.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. I don't know the intro, but this is where you can make a lot of money with your favorite players, you know? Take it from there, killer.
Yeah, what Mason's trying to say is if you download the Underdog
Fantasy app.
Hold on, we got to say the states and shit. All right, I got it. All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to It Is What It Is. Yo, Nick,
let me go.
Keep all the joints. Yeah, go murder. You haven't done it in three seasons.
Yeah, right. It
was three seasons. You go.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This is Killer. I'm Mace.
That supposed to go with the end.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2. Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This is where you make a lot of money off your favorite players.
Yeah, on the Underdog Fantasy app joint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know they in more than 30 states, New York, Texas, California, just to name a few.
He's Killer, I'm Mace.
Yeah, but make sure y'all download the Underdog Fantasy app. As you can see, shit is clicking. A lot of niggas is down with them niggas now since we joined the team.
Niggas made it to the Super Bowl off Cold Cam alone.
Yeah, but you know, absolutely off Cold Cam alone, but the family's growing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people. Kai is down. I see Noriega, part of the family now.
Yeah.
It's expanding over there, man.
I like that.
Yeah. They're going to have to talk to us. Make sure y'all download the app and hit the link in the bio to subscribe for the show. That's Mace. I'm Killer Cam. Treasure's out today, so we're going to have to do everything ourselves.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've been doing shit dolo anyway, though.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't nothing new.
It really isn't, man. Let's start the show off today with, Ice Cube and the Big Three have made Iowa star Caitlin Clark an offer of $5 million to play in the Big Three.
$5 million?
Five cash. Five honey buns, man.
I knew it.
You know, okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get to the question. I'm doing a monologue. I ain't even ready to argue. Let me finish the question. Do you think this is a good look for Caitlin Clark to join the Big Three?
Actually, I think it's a great idea. I probably was one of the first to say this.
Okay.
Or was that you? Were you the one saying that she need to play with Dallas and all that?
I said I let
her. You brought all of this up.
I said let her go practice with Dallas. That's what I said. You ready to scrutinize me? Told me you picked your bag up, put your computer away, walked out the room, act like I was going crazy.
Yeah, but niggas listen to us, so they listen to us. Okay. You know?
So you trying to say that's the only reason niggas made the offer?
No, I'm saying they heard you, so then Ice Cube said, you know what? That ain't a bad idea.
You know what?
I could be the first one to give her the bag.
And that's what I'm asking you. So you're saying because of our show, that's why the offer came in.
Yeah, and because you said it. You said that she needed to play with Mark Cuban needed to do it, and Ice Cube just beat him to the punch. I mean, when you think about it, if she can get $5 million playing against some older NBA players that don't run that fast— This actually goes with what I said, because this is that step towards it. I know you're not going to agree with me, but this is that baby step towards playing in the NBA. If she could beat the older niggas, then she get her weight up, she come back and try to cook the younger niggas.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm not going to lie, Murder. It's a few things that we say on this show. And I don't really, you know, niggas would be like, nobody's thinking about what they're saying. We've been was going to do this. Because I promise you, man.
Yeah.
I promise you. I was sitting there dreading to come here last week when the Suns picked up Isaiah Thomas. I said, I got to hear this nigga. I had a perfectionist. What's your name? The perfectionist?
The expert.
I got to hear all. I said, this. And not only did he say he would come back, pause, but then you said the right team. And I was I was thinking, that's why when I, that day you said, the day we came back after you were right, I had lyrics on standby. I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw niggas off. I have my lyrics on standby because I didn't want to hear what the fuck you had to say because you was right and I was 100% wrong. But that's a great point. You know, Cuban might have said, yo, you know what? Let's get over here because let's look at reality and on a real note real quick. The average salary for a WNBA player is probably anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000. If you're a superstar, $200,000, it could go up to. I think the max player right now is getting $250,000 outside of endorsements. This is a 2,000% turnaround from the max player. She's already making $3.1 million from NIL while she's in Iowa. So I was thinking to myself as well, damn, you know, once you get to WNBA, not saying that, well, yeah, I'm going to say it. Yeah, celebrity kind of dwindles down from college. You know, it's a lot of great college players. And I'm not saying everybody kind of me. I would say whether it's Diana Taurasi or others, Skylar Diggs, it's kind of when they get to the WNBA, I kind of lose track of them a little bit. And I was big fans of them in college. And I was saying to myself, damn, if Caitlin Clark goes to the WNBA, which she most likely is, will we lose track of her and start keeping up with other college stars? Or because the WNBA is rising now and with the success of the Aces and other teams, will we start keeping up with WNBA players like we keep up with women's college basketball? And I was kind of thinking about that when it came to Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
But to answer the question, to ask you the question, what do you think she should do? Because the big three lines up, schedule lines up directly with the WNBA schedule. So it would probably, not even probably, have to be one or the other. What would you do?
I would tell her to take the money with what she can make at $5 million. If she's only going to get $200,000 in the WNBA, it would take her about 17 seasons or more to get that kind of money. Even more, probably 20 seasons to make the money she would get on that one deal. So I think she could still come back to the WNBA because after she pushed the narrative, she could be a golden in a whole new aspect that I was the first one to play with the guys. You know, back in the days, we thought Cheryl Miller could have done it. It was a few people we
Cheryl
thought.
Swoops as well.
Swoops was on that level. It was even one
Lisa
time.
Lisa Leslie, maybe.
Yeah, Lisa Leslie. It's been a few players. Even I remember... I can't forget my girl. She would kill me that played with the Atlanta team. Oh my goodness, I'm going to blank right now. But number 35, you know who you are. You called me. You told me about basketball stuff. How you say McCarthy?
You live down there. I didn't.
Yeah, something. She's super fire in the WNBA.
Okay.
She definitely get buckets against niggas. She was one of Angel. She was one of the first girls I thought could really get buckets against niggas. So she has the platform to be able to make this a reality. And I think this is a once in a lifetime thing. You can't miss out on this.
Right.
She could always play in the WNBA.
Right. And Nick just sent me some information. Thank you, Nick. The average salary for the WNBA is $150,000. And the highest paid player is $235,000, which... it's still...
yeah, it take about 17 seasons to get that money.
Exactly, man. So, I'm going for the bag. I'm going
to
take
the... yeah, I'm definitely going.
Because the WNBA isn't going there. Whether you do good or bad in the big three, they'll still be waiting for you in the WNBA while you collect more money. And to me, you'll get way more sponsorship money with the big three because imagine the commercials that come with it. Imagine the other... yo, if the guys could do it, so can I. Those commercials would be out the sky.
Yeah.
Just that alone, like, what makes you better than me? Because you're a guy. So I think this is a great move by Ice Cube. We have yet to see if this is going to happen. If you ask me what I think she's going to do, I think the WA will offer her so many incentives not to do it that she's going to end up going to the WNBA. But me personally, I agree with Mace that if I was Caitlin Clark, I would definitely look into this Big Three thing, because not only you get a guaranteed $5 million, if it's for 1 year, you're going to get endorsements besides that. What I will say is this, though, Mace. She probably will come in there making more than the people who've been playing in the Big Three, and they're going to come in there with an attitude, with a about
it. Yeah, they definitely got to bump up her salary.
Yeah.
I can't get paid the way people got paid before. It's reparations year, you know?
No, what I'm saying is the players that played in the past are going to have an attitude, because she'd probably be the highest
paid
player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
I can't get paid what y'all got paid before. It's a reparation year, you know?
But the bully game on her might be, they might have attitudes, a lot of elbows, a lot of flagrant fouls, a lot of so you want to be out here.
Yeah.
And if she can overcome that, then more power to her. But I would definitely think that'd be an interesting scenario, even if you did it for a year and then go to the WNBA.
Yeah, you know, that's how it be when you're the first to do something. I mean, he was the first one to put the pink on. How was niggas treating you? That's how they be treating, huh?
Well, the thing about it, I wasn't first. I was the flyest.
You was the flyest.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. There's a lot of
things. Staying corrected.
Yeah, you know, remember, no disrespect to nobody. I'm just saying Nas had the pink suit on in his video.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, man. I perfected it. No disrespect to nobody else, but, you know, I'm from Harlem. That's just what it is. I don't even got to go to a bunch of detail. I'm from Harlem. We'll end it there. But I was treated like I was the first.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of things that happen with the first. I used to be the first one to order cars. Like, I'm like, I want the Lamborghini. It don't come out till next year. I want the Range Rover to come out the next year. Sometimes them got kinks in it. You don't want to be the first neither, because sometimes it's an experiment. And you're like, y'all got to take this back to the dealer. Oh, I shouldn't have been. So 745 was just a mess when I had got that. So sometimes being first ain't always it, but it's about taking a chance.
Yeah, that's true.
You with that? You believe that?
Yeah, I definitely understand. Sometimes as the first, you take all of the.
Yeah, you first nigga from Harlem. Yeah. So when $5 million on niggas.
You take all pause, all of the issues.
Right.
Never niggas get to fly.
That's a fact. So moving on, Nick Nurse said it's not about if, it's when Joel Embiid comes back this season. He's going to be back before the playoffs for a handful of games with 9 games remaining left on the Sixers schedule. What do you think this means for the 76ers?
Me personally, when it comes to Joel Embiid and Nick Nurse, I definitely wouldn't bring Joel Embiid back. I think because, you know, him getting hurt and him missing so many games, I would almost go on the record of saying they would be a better team and more apt to win a championship if he comes back next year. Because what it does is the same thing it did for Jordan Poole when he was able to play all those games and be a starter. And you can see that as he started becoming a starter. Then when you make him the sixth man or bring him off the bench, it's like you got another starter on the team. It's almost like you added to the nucleus of what they had it already. So I look at the same thing that you see somebody like, what's the, Oubre starting to come into
pause.
Yeah, he's starting to play better. Much, much better than years past. And when you let everybody become stars like Maxey, on his own without Embiid. Now he's used to getting 30. He's used to getting 20. He get 30. This new guy gets his buckets. Then Buddy Hill, the rest of them start balling. And then you bring a Joel Embiid back when they're used to getting 30. He's used to getting 30. He's used to getting 20. Now that's a much stronger team than doing it now and breaking that chemistry down. I would really just let them ball out this year, let them go as far as they go, because they weren't guaranteed to win the championship this year anyway, but it would set them up to be a major, major team come next year. Because if you look at Boston, they're not going to beat Boston with Joel Embiid back, not this year. So I would really not even tank the season, but let all of the new talent play.
That's a good assessment. I'm kind of torn between both.
Yeah.
Because
you don't want to get hurt again either.
No, that's...
By
that's,
coming back when everybody is peaking, pause, and he's definitely at the place where he's getting back into the rhythm.
Yeah, it's a great assessment. You know, they was probably in third place when he's out. Right now, they're in the play-in in eighth place. I think the Philadelphia 76ers, like Mace just said, has done a tremendous job of sustaining at least the play-in without Joel Embiid. A lot of people are saying, oh, man, Joel Embiid is down. It's over for the Sixers. To right now, they still have the chance to be in the playoffs, definitely in the play-in at this particular point without Joel Embiid. So I get what Mace is saying. Let them rock out and see where they go. I like the competitor in Joel Embiid pause that he wants to come back and try and get them to a better spot in the playoffs and compete. You know, Joel Embiid has a history of injuries, and it may have hindered the Sixers organization for a few years, but he's one of them talents that you're not going to find all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I get him wanting to come back, wanting to compete. You know, last time we seen him, he had a tremendous game against the Joker and actually won, even though he didn't play when they got to Denver.
Yeah.
He kind of got the best of Joker when they went Philly, kind of right before he got hurt. So in his mind, he's thinking, man, if it's all about the Joker, I may have his number. I don't think so. I'm just telling you where he may mentally think. You know what I'm saying?
He ain't got no Joker number.
Yeah, I'm saying that's what he may mentally think that, but I'm kind of torn. I agree with you, Mace, when it says, let them rock out. They've been doing good. See how far I could take you. Because I do say, don't risk injury on the franchise player trying to rush back. Because that would be the worst thing in the world. You get him back, he ends up getting injured. And then you'll say, you shouldn't have let him come back. But if he is coming back, I'm pretty sure his doctors, the Sixers staff doctors, took a look at him. And I like the tenacity of even trying to come back. That's what I'm more impressed with. With him coming back, what does this mean for the Sixers? Are they going to beat Boston? Are they going to beat Milwaukee?
That's what I'm saying. I don't got them beating Boston.
Right. Are they going to be actually better than the Knicks? Because the Knicks have just actually, we're going to talk about in a few, got their center back. I don't know, but I will give him credit for trying to come back. He's not DeAndre Ayton saying he got frozen in his house or he can't make
snow
it to...
Snow was so he couldn't get out the driveway.
Yeah, he done hurt his back on an air mattress pause. Like, I don't like excuses like that. So that's why I'm kind of torn about it. At least he's trying to come back and compete.
Whatever happened with the air mattress?
I don't know, bro.
We ever find out... air mattresses put together. What happened to
that's what you said. Like, my thing is with that is, I think, you know what it's like when I got kind of out of relationship and hear my friends who in relationships lie to their chicks, and I'd be like, that was dumb whack. I'm like, I ain't going for that one, bro.
Yo, she went for that.
Word. Like, I told niggas, if she went for that, she don't believe you, she just love you. Because that shit was trash. That was and Aiton's lies remind me of that. Cause you know what the number one lie is for a rapper. He was in the studio. Come on. He was in the studio all night. I remember, it's funny. I'm not going to say a name.
I know what you about to say.
No. You may. I don't know. But I'm not going to say a name. But it was a rapper. And his girlfriend stayed out all night, ain't come back to 9 in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
Flipped out. He said, yo, what's up? Where you was at? She said, in the studio.
I remember that. I was like,
niggas ready to knock her head off. She's like, what? She was like, what? I was in the studio. So, I just don't like Aiton's lies, man. And when I got out of a relationship, I was saying to myself, damn, did my lies sound that bad like my nigga shit? Because my nigga shit be crazy because, and I'm not talking about current friends. I'm talking about your niggas. I'm just saying, like, you know, we be trying to huddle up and get shit right. How this sound? I'm glad I ain't got to go through that no more. Because when you fuck with somebody and you like them, you scared. I got tired of being scared every night because my phone would ring. Oh, shit. And then you know what crazy? When you really don't be doing nothing wrong. You probably just fell asleep or somewhere and then you're going, damn, I'm going to get accused. I got to go through this shit. And our lies are whack, fellas. I'm just telling you out there, our lies, we got to start huddling up. none of my friends' girlfriends like me because I get the blame for everything. This nigga Cam had me out making sure everything
Cam
was good.
Cam had you out.
Yeah. I had to make sure
this nigga's really wild without you.
Yeah.
Y'all blaming me.
Then when I meet them, I get them, hey, how are you? Yeah, it's fine, man. It's all good, bro. But I don't know if this is going to help the Sixers, but I do like Joel Embiid coming back. I would like to see, and I think it's a good thing, Murder, that he's coming back before the playoffs. So to me, this will get a assessment of what you were saying as far as seeing if he could gel with the team, seeing if he's really going to get hurt, and then the Sixers can make a decision from there.
Yeah. I mean, all this is good assessments. When you think about it, it's just over the years, he's been hurt so many times, it seemed like rest would do him better. Honestly, he may come back next year and be playing so much better because his body definitely need rest from all the years that he's been hurt, surgeries and all of that.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right. So moving on, bro. It wasn't just Brandon Miller saying that Paul George is the GOAT. Find out it's a handful of NBA players that feel Paul George is the GOAT. You know, Aaron Gordon of the Denver Nuggets was like, yo, that nigga got some shit in his bag. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns was like, he could do everything. Step back, left, right, fade away, left, right. And it's an article on ESPN.com that says, Paul George is the template for the next generation's GOAT. What do you have to say about the next generation feeling that Paul George is their GOAT?
I mean, you're starting to hear it more and more, like behind the scenes. When we first heard it, we just thought it was just the craziest thing that you could possibly come up with. But it seemed like even when it comes to the video games, they're using Paul George as the template to create the players on a video game. Mm-hmm. Like the way he moves with the ball, pausing his patented moves. They're using that almost, you know how they put the little dots on you and for movement. And that's crazy. But I mean, I guess as time go on, they gotta be a newer GOAT. But I like Paul George game in a sense. I wouldn't have said that, but now I'm starting to see some of what they're talking about from the aspect of things he could do. But I haven't seen enough to say GOAT yet. But I put it out there because he hit me on the phone. He said, Mace, come on, man. It's like niggas saying you the GOAT. Do you feel like you're not a GOAT? I said, Paul, I kind of see what you're saying, but we still got to do more. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Paul doing enough in these series to back up that GOAT conversation. So, Paul, if you're listening to this, we're rocking with you. We're saying this playoff, prove everybody right. Prove everybody right that LeBron used to be the GOAT. You the GOAT now. And then we can move on with that conversation. I want to know what Cam got to say for the Ohio, because you know they got something to say about that. What Ohio got to say about it?
My GOAT was born in Brooklyn, bro.
Okay.
That's just my GOAT. But to put some more context on what you were saying, Mace, in 2K, Paul George is the fourth, most popular NBA player template. So that means who's before him? LaMelo Ball, and they didn't say everybody. Jason Tatum and LaMelo Ball, they didn't say who the third person was. But he's the template for 2K. Brandon Miller, so it's a couple things I have to say about this. First of all, Paul George, my apologies. I didn't know this many niggas was looking up to you because I'm not even naming half the people that's in the article giving you your props.
They're giving them high praises.
Yeah.
And shout out to the kid Brandon Miller for being courageous, because I do respect that when young guys come up, it's almost like you have a better career if you acknowledge the people you got it from, because it's a blessing on it.
Right, definitely. I give you a lot of credit to say that, because a lot, and me included, I was like, you're crazy. You're bugging. But before I move on, what Brandon Miller said is a little confusing to me. And it's not confusing. It makes sense. But I'm like, what do you mean? And when I say that, he said this, Mace. He said, we all know that LeBron's the GOAT, but Paul George is my GOAT. What do you take from that?
I get it. It's like having a side chick. We all know this is my girl, but that's my girl.
Yeah, right. You know, okay.
That's how I heard it.
Yeah, so, because, you know what
In front of everybody.
Right.
This is the one he says he's with, but that's who he really.
What I took from that was, we know LeBron's, because he said, basically, to put more context behind what I'm saying, he said that LeBron, he didn't base his game after LeBron. He based his game after Paul George. The moves he do, the back steps, the fadeaway, et cetera. He didn't base his game behind LeBron. It was based behind Paul George.
I get that.
But what I was going to say is, and I'll let you elaborate on it, is that I took it as I can never be LeBron, but I could be Paul George.
Yeah.
So that make you
the
GOAT?
Yeah, that's definitely one way to see it. That's what I was looking at. What are the other ways that you can take this conversation? Because if he's saying he's the GOAT, I look at it like how people would say Penny was, we know Mike is the GOAT, but Penny was the GOAT. Like, based upon raw talent versus who actually ended up being the best. Does that make sense? Like somebody, if we going on just talent, like if they were both healthy, this would be the GOAT. But due to circumstances, and we all know what Jordan did, take nothing away from Jordan. But if Penny stayed healthy, would he be the GOAT? You get what I'm saying? Like that kind of conversation. I look at it like he's saying that with Paul George. Because remember, Paul George's legs snapped the other way and he was already right there with Bron. Mm-hmm. Before his leg snapped.
Yeah, look, I think that, and that's a great point before the injury, but I think the Indiana Pacer Paul George was right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think Indiana Pacer Paul George was right there. My problem with Paul George is not and no problem with him, but other players in the East. And I know LeBron had help once he went to Miami, but 10 straight Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
10 straight NBA Finals. Somebody got to step up. And, you know, whether it's Paul George, whether it's DeMar mm-hmm. DeRozan, whether who else was in the league at that time, you can't let one person, even though he's helping GM and getting players and so forth and so forth, just go to 10 straight conference finals or championships, that is. Magic never did it. And I'm not, and of course you got to pull it off in one. He didn't win 10.
No, that's crazy too.
Yeah, but
10 straight.
That means nobody on the East figured it out for 10 years. And not only that, he left. So it may have been longer if he didn't leave. So mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know, because that's just me. But as far as the next generation, look, Carmelo's son, thinks that Paul George is the best. That's Carmelo's son. And who his father is.
Yeah.
But Paul George is his favorite player. And like I said, it's a bunch of people I'm not naming. So what we got to realize is being old enough to see basketball.
Yeah.
A lot of people older than me, not way older than me, will sit there and say Michael Jordan's their GOAT. Some people a little younger than me will say Kobe Bryant's their GOAT. But nobody from our generation will ever say that Bill Russell's their GOAT, when somebody older than us might be like, Bill Russell is my GOAT because he won 11 championships, two of them coaching, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe it's generational, because you can't always get that what goes on in the air, so to speak, like when Michael Jordan was playing. Like, you don't know what's happening in the street. The aura that comes with it.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Some niggas just love swag. Like, growing up, there would be people talk about Dr. J, but then hood niggas be like, Iceman.
Yeah, exactly.
Iceman.
Or Pee Wee Kirkland. Yeah. Y'all ain't seen Pee Wee got a chance. You know what I'm saying? You're absolutely right. So I think it's generational, because sometimes you can't get the gist of what was going on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Or you can't get the gist of it from seeing old clips and so on and so forth. So you don't necessarily get the aura that came with the mystique around Michael Jordan. Just like I can't get the aura of the mystique that came around Bill Russell or Will Chamberlain. Yeah. I have to go a video because I wasn't able to see it. Or Iceman Gervin or people like that. So as kids, as we get older and more people are younger playing basketball, they're going to have their opinion more and more and more. And it's just people like us who was lucky enough to see a lot of basketball before they did. Mm-hmm. We can't get mad at them for saying who their GOAT. It's like now with certain things with music, people my age are like, I can't fuck with the drill shit. I ain't going to say your name, nigga. They hate on these young niggas all the time. All the time, my nigga. Let me fucking hate them, my nigga. And I'm like, yo, bro, you are in your 40s. Let that young man be 18. I'm just saying, when we was coming up, shut the fuck up, bro.
Yeah,
shut
niggas up, like, man. Yo, them little niggas Vogue dancing and all that.
Yeah.
That Vogue dance.
Yeah, niggas be mad, bro. And I'm like, yo, you got to let a 19-year-old be a 19-year-old. Because look, I remember when we was trying to rap at 13, 14, 15, whenever. I'm talking about young, before it even became a real idea of being professional musicians. And my grandma was like, I can't even understand what they saying. What the hell are they saying on this song? I don't know what they're saying. Yeah. So you got to let these kids enjoy, whether it's music. But as far as Brandon Miller, I have to give him a lot of credit for jumping out the window and saying that and believing and standing on
and
business.
Standing on it.
Yep. Yeah. Because it's so, last night, I only named Kat, Aaron Gordon, Carmelo's son. It's a long, Reggie Jackson's on this. It's a lot of players that say Paul George's dick.
And it's players who get buckets.
Yeah.
It's not like it's wash niggas saying you're right.
Absolutely.
It's niggas who get crazy.
Absolutely, man. So
that means even more.
Yeah, Paul George, I apologize, man. I had no idea what was going on. But salute to you for being a template. It's looking like for the next generation of basketball.
Yeah.
So right now, Murda, the Golden State Warriors in 10th place and the possibility of missing the play-in. They're in the play-in right now, which I would love to see them make the play-in. But what do you expect for the Golden State Warriors moving forward next year?
Next year. So we throwing away this year.
No. We're not throwing away this year. They're still in it. But I'm saying next year, what do you think?
Oh, next year is definitely going to be some changes made. I could guarantee you. Hopefully they don't take Draymond up on his offer. You know, Draymond been talking about, you know, retiring and things of that nature. This is one of those seasons that may make them reconsider that. You know, when you start losing this frequently and you're losing with the people that you won with, you only got a few times for you to reinvent the wheel, especially with older players. So they either got to fix this or I could see this whole thing being blown up. Like, you notice Andrew Wiggins is not there.
And I think he came back.
He came back.
Think so. I'll check on it, though.
Yeah, but it don't seem like he's back. Even if he's back. And that's my guy, Pause, you know, but I'm an advocate for the truth. So I think I can see that whole team just being shaken up. Because they need a lot of reformation with that team. I can see Clay being at a different location come next year. Definitely. And once they move Clay, it becomes easier to move other pieces. I think they've been looking forward to Kuminga a long time. And this between now and the postseason is going to determine if he stays. I think you blow this whole thing up. Like, I wouldn't hold on to it because time is of the essence. And these young niggas is not getting no greener. They're going to be better next year. OKC will be even better next year. After you win, the other teams get better. So they're going to really have to invest in some other talent.
Do you look at this situation kind of how, and when we speak of dynasties, kind of how at the end of Tim Duncan and the Spurs organization dynasty kind of ended, or is this something totally different?
Yeah, I was thinking Scottie Pippen when they brought in Tony Kukoc, like, we got to go in a new direction if we want to keep winning. And that's just what they have to do.
They won three together, though.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but they had to bring in Tony Kukoc. We can't keep it paused like it was. You know what I'm saying? Just like when they brought Jordan Poole in or they brought Andrew Wiggins in, it's time to bring in a new player. And I don't know what that's going to look like for everybody else, but they got to bring in some new talent.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee losing Giannis end up over there. They need one of those kind of changes. They need a big change.
Well, Giannis just signed his extension. He isn't going anywhere. To answer your question, though, Andrew Wiggins is back. He actually had a game high 23 points last night against the Orlando Magic. So hopefully he'll stick around. Back to the question.
Yeah, they need to keep Andrew Wiggins. They more so need to find somebody to trade or to move Draymond and Clay for. Because the antics is not working with Draymond when they start losing. You know, it's almost like what the guy said. I ain't going to say his name, but he said, you know, when the poop get bigger than the cat.
Yeah. Trying to get rid of the cat.
You got to get rid of the cat.
Yep. Me personally, I don't think Draymond's leaving anytime soon. I'm not disagreeing with you. I know they actually made a conscious decision to get rid of Jordan Poole for Draymond, to be totally honest with you. It is what it is. We got to call it what it is. Me personally, if I'm sitting there, coach or GM Steve Kerr or somebody, I'm like, let's keep this together. I know they're not fucking with each other, but we won a championship. It was just too overbearing, probably, for Jordan Poole to take. That, I have to agree with you. Look, next year, y'all niggas got to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I agree with Murder, with the Tony Kukoc scenario and everything else, because Michael Jordan had left when they bought Kukoc in, so they had to bring somebody in. But I totally agree with you. Y'all got to do something. I don't have the answer. I'm not going to sit and act like I have the answer. Something needs to be done.
Like right now, if Poole was scoring 40, and you can trade Draymond for Poole at that time, people would be reconsidering why they let Poole go. But because he's having such a horrible year, you're thinking to keep Draymond. But if you can get Bang or one of them from Memphis, would you trade one of the pieces of?
They just extended Bang's contract. He's not going anywhere.
Just saying, hypothetically, if you can get like a superstar guard for one of them, you wouldn't do it? That's younger?
For who?
For Clay or Draymond.
It depends on, which you got to realize it depends, because that's kind of why they got rid of Poole, because they're the three amigos. You got a little attitude when somebody else come in and start rocking, and it's a little attitude. The real problem is this. Chris Paul off the bench. He had 3 points last night. You know, we forget Chris Paul is fucking NBA. Like, yo, 3 points? Come on. Like, yo, Chris Paul got to get the fuck out of there.
So are you saying Chris Paul is the jinx?
No, I'm not going to say he's the jinx, because he might be the jinx. He might be the jinx. Look, I called this before the season started. I said this.
I knew he was going to go for that.
I said this before the season started. Yeah. I said this is not a
Chris
good
Paul,
fit.
I apologize. I was just throwing the troll bait out there, but he definitely said you
know
the
why? Because I'm trying to give Chris Paul some light, because at the beginning of the season, I'm like, this is not going to work. Cam, you're bugging. A veteran guard off the bench. This would be great for Golden State. They don't respect Chris Paul. Draymond Green, before the season started, said he don't like Chris Paul, but he'll learn to work with him because it's too much rivalry shit. And Chris Paul is an educator, a teacher, a floor general, and half them niggas is like, not here, you're not. I think Chris Paul will do sensational on another team, not just this one. Just not this one. It's not going to work for him.
San Antonio, perfect for him. Absolutely. Black and silver.
Absolutely. But I have no idea what they need to do, but something needs to be done. Listen, they can make the play-in. They could get out the first round, second round, win a championship, and this team still something needs to be done. Yeah. If they can win the championship starting right now and have a great run, and there's no way that this team is going to stick together because there's too much turmoil throughout the season. And I don't mean off the court shit. I mean on the court shit. You got to realize Golden State hasn't been this depressing for probably the Bay Area fans in the last 8-9 years.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't been this bad in a minute, and they're not used to it. So yeah. I think something's going to get done.
And if it's this much turmoil on the team, where do you think the turmoil is coming from?
I don't say I used the wrong word when I said turmoil. I was referring to that.
Struggle?
When I say turmoil, I'm like, it's no turmoil outside of basketball. When I meant the word was, I probably didn't use the right word. Struggle is definitely a good word. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is this regular season, this is not what the Golden State Warriors are used to during the regular season. And as fans, you say, are we going to make the plan? Are we not going to make the plan? Steph Curry's only playing 30 minutes. He needs to play 36. It's a lot of shit that's going on now that they're not used to, especially Steve Kerr. You got to realize Steve Kerr walked into a championship.
Yeah.
So
he never had to work to, like, put this team together or get them to gel. They were already gelling.
Right.
And that's what it seemed like right now. And they're in need of a tune-up. And he, as him being a coach, he got to be able to figure that out, figure out what need to happen.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't have the answers, but y'all niggas can make the plan, go to the championship, win the championship. Everybody's not going to be there next year unless it's a bargain. You got to take shorties. A lot of whoever's contract is up, you're going to have to take shorties. That's just the way it is. That's what's going to have to happen, man. We'll be right back. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to come back with the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson has came back after missing 50 games.
Pink horsepower. She called this thing about toxic.
What's happening, man? Baby, what's happening?
Why are you walking like that?
That's how I walk.
And then, like, you come on breathing on me like that.
I fucking breathe to live.
And, like, you used to be dark-skinned, and now you act like hella light-skinned.
Are you fucking blind? I'm dark-skinned. What the fuck?
And then, like, look at your beard.
The fuck is wrong with my beard?
Stupid.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I don't even like it. The way you breathe in, all of that.
Has this ever happened to you? Your girl seems to be mad, angry, upset. She's frustrated. It's only one way to handle that.
Pink horsepower.
No.
But your breath is really refreshing.
No.
I'm just trying to give you a massage. Plus, have I told you how good your beard looks lately? It looks so good.
No!
PHP. It works every time.
Wait! Where are you going?
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. Tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks are playing the New Orleans Pelicans, Murder. They got Giannis at 30 and a half points. You going high or low?
Giannis at 30.
30 and a half.
Against the Pelicans, higher.
Higher.
Yeah.
It's going to be
a good game.
I'm going to go with higher too, because what I think is, first of all, it's playoff time. You got to get on playoff contention. Both these teams are going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But it's one of them situations.
This is
like
a goodie. This is a goodie.
Zion, yo, you back full time, huh? Well, I always been here.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those situations for Giannis. I think Giannis
wants Lillard
to.
Yeah, versus McCollum.
Right. I believe Giannis. It was a point for like about 2 years. You know, it was. maybe LeBron and Kevin Durant, and they was like, Giannis is catching them. Giannis catching them. Yeah. Everybody's like, Giannis is the best player in the league. And I think for the last 2 years, that me included, have been people have been putting the Joker is the best player in the league. Yeah. And I don't think Giannis likes that. Maybe even Joel Embiid, because he won last year's MVP. Mm-hmm. And I think Giannis won his name back.
Yeah, I hear them even talking about Tatum more than Giannis.
Yeah, this is true. Damian Lillard, he's at 22.5 points. High or low?
Higher. Come on, it's time, Dame. Dame, it's time, man. Put these niggas back on timing, Dame.
It's a good one, man, because it's one of them situations where CJ McCollum might be like, I know you, nigga.
Yeah, I know that move.
Yeah, I know where you want to go. We ain't going to have that tonight. I'm going to also go higher because Dame Lillard might be like, I know you too.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations. Yeah,
definitely a goodie. That's right. Why I say it's a goodie.
Right. Zion Williamson. Mm-hmm. He's at 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Higher or lower?
Lower. Lower.
I'm going to go lower as well. Lower. Well, make sure you go to Underdog Fantasy and download the app. Now, Murder, man. So the New York Knicks, you New York Knicks motherfuckers. All right, cool. Look, y'all been getting some light. And we give them light all week. Niggas are still mad. They still mad at niggas. Murder like, yo, you ain't talking about them enough. They got Mitchell Robinson back after 50 games last night against the Toronto Raptors. Pardon me, against the Toronto Raptors. They actually won by 44 points, 145 to 101. Mitchell Robinson, what did he have, Sin? I'm acting like I'm talking to Sin. 8 points, and that's pretty much it. 8 points, 2 rebounds. But they did win by 44 points. The Knicks have been injured a lot this year. If they could get everybody back, including Julius Randle, what do you think about the Knicks in the postseason?
Ah, man. I tried to wear New York Knicks colors today.
Can I say something real quick?
They feel a little better.
Go profile on them so they see your hat. Can y'all see that? That's pause. You can't teach taste. I've been having to deal with this all show. What God? Wow. 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 I've been trying to ignore it, but you want to bring... Yeah, they say, what do you... What does that hat mean? Crazy. You out here promoting that too, huh? You can't teach taste. Boy, I've been trying to be professional.
I didn't see that.
I've been trying to be
when
professional.
When I bought that, it was just for the New York Knicks colors. I was trying to show the Knicks a little bit of love, but see, that's why you don't do it. That's exactly, I lose. So I'm glad you brought it up. Right. The moment I try to wear some Knicks colors, you see that? I lose. Okay.
I was trying to be professional and ignore it the whole time. But since you wanted to talk about the hat, I'm glad the people saw it as well. But yeah, what do you think about the Knicks moving forward in the playoffs?
Yeah, I thought this was a major surprise for the New York Knicks, getting back, you know, their best shot blocker. And right in the nick of time for the playoffs. So this makes them even more dangerous. I would say that because they've been balling this much without any real presence like that. So this is the same thing I was saying about Philadelphia. If you keep letting a team ball because they're getting these shots and they're getting these looks, then you come back and now McBride is a star. Then what's his name? You know,
Brunson
is haywire now. So then you add Julius Randle back and a shot blocker. This is a whole different team. So, and not to mention Hart and the other light skinned dude from Villanova. They balling Villanova.
The problem is this with the New York Knicks fans. I'm not gonna keep telling you. We're not Knicks fans. We are. We've been let down way before you've been let down, and we're sick of it. To me, though, to be totally honest with you, we're not talking about Cleveland a lot. And that Cleveland's in third, I believe, right now, if I have to check. But if anybody should be scared of a team in the East, talking about Boston, talking about the Sixers if they get Joel Embiid back, talking about the Milwaukee Bucks, is the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson looked like he figured it out, on the verge of being a superstar one day, definitely a high-level all-star. Randall comes back. You know, he's gritty, he's rough. They have their center back. And you just named a bunch of players that have stepped up while their starters have been hurt. I think the Knicks are the scariest team in the East when the playoffs come. Are they going to win? That's not what I said. I said that they're the scariest.
What makes them the scariest team?
Because they're underestimated. When I say scariest, you know, first of all, we're not talking about New York Knicks fans because the New York Knicks fans think they're going to win the championship. Anyway. Yeah. But what I'm talking about, when I'm talking, look at Nick in there, what I'm talking about is...
Yeah, he in there too.
Yeah, he going to... What I'm saying is, if I'm the coach of Boston, if I'm the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, if I'm the coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, if I'm the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Knicks are the scariest team because they kind of have the pieces that can upset you any night. And they've been looking good this year. Not only that, Tom Thibodeau's an excellent coach, probably be a Hall of Fame coach before it's all said and done. And I think that goes a long way in the playoffs as well. And he's, to me, he was like paused as a tight-ass coach, you know, to where he didn't always get along with his players. But I believe he's learning that. It's a lot of players like Pop. He's learning that. And you don't have to teach Pop. He's one of the best ever. But you see, when you're coaching so many different generations, personalities. You got people in the 90s like Pop. You could talk to them crazy.
Yeah.
You could talk to them wild. Then you get to the late 2000s, 10s, and you're like, oh, these niggas getting sensitive.
Yeah.
Let me change it up before I make a nigga cry.
Tell them a different way.
Right, exactly. So I think that Tom Thibodeau is learning that. And that could be dangerous for those teams that I named because nobody's actually picking the Knicks to go to the championship. But if they're the biggest threat in the East to the top three teams, I would say that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What team you think they'll beat? What team you think they can beat out of those top three?
See, the thing about it is this. I think they're a year away and maybe a piece away. Pause. I'm not sure who the piece is because these teams outside of, you know, Milwaukee, their nucleus has basically been there. And Damian Lillard is kind of filling in for Drew Holiday. Maybe not have the defense he had, but Drew Holiday may not have the offense that Dame has. But in a seven-game series, is different. You make adjustments. You have to know what you're doing. Inside. So if I'm picking the Knicks to beat anybody in one night, I think they can have a great night and beat any of those teams in one night. But in a seven-game series, I think it's going to be adjustments made, and they're not going to be totally ready for Boston or Milwaukee right now. I wouldn't even say Philadelphia. I'd put them I might put them above Philadelphia, seeing how Joel Embiid comes
back. What about Miami?
Miami's dangerous as well. I'm glad you brought them up.
Yeah.
Because I'm sitting here thinking about the top seeds, and Miami's so lackluster that they'll be like, oh, time for the playoffs. Time to turn it up. Y'all niggas ready?
It's turn up time.
Yeah, it's turn up time.
It's fire time.
Yeah, we've been bullshitting all year. Y'all ready to do it? So I'm glad you did bring them up. And that's another team that could be dangerous. I think they're not as dangerous as New York, but their resume says so.
Yeah.
Their resume says so. And you got Bam, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Hero, you got Duncan, and you know who's up there looking in the skybox, nigga, with his arms folded. Pat Riley, nigga. He'll play no games, nigga. So when them playoffs come around, they hit another button. But I'm glad you didn't bring up the Miami Heat. But congratulations to Mitchell Robinson on your return. I know they've been waiting on you. And congratulations to the Knicks on a 40-point win last night. So, not last night, Murder, the night before last, it was a thriller. The Lakers against the Milwaukee Bucks, they won the double overtime. The Lakers end up winning without LeBron. This season, the Lakers are over 500 without LeBron. What do you think about the Lakers moving forward in the playoffs this season, currently being in ninth place in the play-in?
I think the Lakers is, I think the Lakers, as long as LeBron is playing, is a dangerous team. I know a lot of times people hear me give LeBron a lot of criticism, but it's really constructive. But I think as long as he's on the floor, he can control any series. It's just been that way until somebody proved different. You know, it doesn't matter if they're eighth, if they end up being seven, any team that let LeBron get going is in for a bad postseason. It's just that simple. Yeah, he's like one of those people. If he show up, you got to get him out of there. If y'all young niggas playing, you got to get him out of there. If you let him get situated, the Lakers might end up winning a series, you know? And that's what I think. When it comes to the Lakers, I don't see them going past the semifinals. I don't see them in the finals for the West Coast. I could see them getting to the semifinals, though. I could see somebody that's supposed to be better than them forgetting what it takes or not knowing what it takes to really be there. I mean, knowing how to win and knowing how to win in the postseason is two separate things. And you got to come to play. You got to come to win. And, you know, whether and winning games on the road. I don't think nobody in the playoffs win games better on the road than Miami and LeBron. Miami and LeBron are the two entities that win on the road. And that's what it comes down to win a championship. You got to win on the road. Denver has shown they could do it. But when it comes to the Lakers, I think they'll figure it out. I don't think they will. Even Anthony Davis don't want to let LeBron down two seasons as a row. He can't afford to do that.
I think in a one-game scenario that the Lakers would beat anybody. I don't really see them beating anybody in the seven-game series right now. Maybe Oklahoma City because of
their youth.
Outside of, and that's a maybe because Gil posts and stuff, Kerr Cook and stuff, like he don't got no problem with none of these old niggas. So that's a big maybe. But outside of that, Denver has experience. Minnesota Timberwolves, even though we all focus on Ant-Man so much, we forget that Rudy Gobert been in the league for years. Been in the league for years.
I think the Lakers will beat Minnesota.
Nine or seven. I don't think so. Because, you know, right now we got to realize, even like when they took off, this is an important game for LeBron to take games off, especially against Milwaukee. He has to preserve his legs. He knows that. And some nights his legs is better than others. Pause. So I think in a seven-game series, other people will have to step up.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if other people could step up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, against the LA Clippers, against the Dallas Mavericks, against the Phoenix Suns. Only one I really got them possibly beating in a series is OKC. But if you're telling me the playing and you're giving the Lakers one game, I'm going with the Lakers. Yeah. I'm going with the Lakers.
I think he was ducking Giannis. I forgot to say that. He was definitely ducking Giannis.
He ain't play against
somebody. He wanted to rest.
Yeah, he didn't play against them in LA either. So, but one game I'm giving it to the Lakers. As far as a series, I only see OKC, and that's a big, big maybe because I don't think Shea give a fuck about none of these older niggas. To tell the truth, I think he don't give a fuck. For him to post up cooking stuff, Curry on his Instagram, that's a dangerous game to play. And he say, "Well, I play dangerous games."
Yeah,
that's what he said. So.
I like that attitude. Yeah, I like all that.
Yeah, I like his attitude too, man. I definitely do. I'm a big fan. So before we go, Mace, the NCAA is trying to take away betting on players. You can still bet on teams, but you can't bet on players, possibly. They're thinking about doing this. What do you think about that?
If they're not letting you bet on players, is one thing they have in mind, and that's that UNLV team, players throwing games, you know, just throwing the best. Look at Larry.
You can say Anderson Hunt was here
yesterday. Yeah. They say, what the old people say, Paul, a hit dog on. Yeah, niggas be throwing games. You know, if you put it on a team, it keeps players from, you know, pulling a UNLV, you know? Allegedly. I was so mad when UNLV lost. You remember that, killer?
Well, I was pissed because...
We just knew UNLV was going to win.
First of all, you know, well, it was mad at UNLV and mad at the Fab Five because... It was almost black against white, even though Grant Hill and a couple other things sprinkled. It was Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley. So it was like, yo, that shit pissed me off when the Fab Five and when UNLV lost. They're supposed to win. My take on it is this. It's two things. Throwing games, like you just said. But not only that, me and speaking of Larry, we talked about it earlier, that players... Players could be throwing games because everybody's not getting NIL money.
Yeah.
So if your family's fucked up and they like, yo, three turnovers.
Nigga got parlay, nigga walking out on the game after 7 points. Yeah. It's like, come on, my nigga.
Yeah, man, turnovers as well. Look, it was a whole special on, I can't think of it, on Netflix, how Homeboy just threw his fucking career away. What's his name? Headache Smith, if you, Arizona State, Headache Smith, you got Netflix and you want to see how about a player just fucking up shit for Arizona State and it's mad obvious, check it out. But everybody's not getting NIL money and these players might be throwing games to get a couple extra dollars. What I said was this, that's a good way to look at it too. And another way to look at it also is that the NCAA has just been doing a bunch of shit, pissed off because people are figuring ways around them to make money. And it might be cutting into their money. I'm not saying they're still not getting billions of dollars, but you don't have to bow down to them poor like you used to have to bow down. And I think they're Aggie. I think they're finding ways to fuck other niggas' money up just because of all the things that's going on outside of them making all the money. Mm-hmm. So that's just my personal opinion, but throwing games sound about right. Yeah. I'm just trying to give another equation.
Yeah, not UNLV.
Yeah, but
Larry hated that.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
It too close to home. Word, man. Well, look, thank you for joining us. And Well, thank you for joining us for another episode. As always, it is what it is. Two big necks, like when they doing.